Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk, The Connection, a platform where we discuss issues affecting young people. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. This Tuesday, September the 12th, 2023, I am Tungameli Nkomo. President Emmerson Mnangagwa saw his new cabinet ministers and deputies into office today, amid backlash from critics after appointing his son David Mnangagwa as deputy finance minister and nephew Tongai Mnangagwa as deputy tourism minister. The ministers took their oath of office at State House as Mr. Mnangagwa presses ahead with the formation of his new government following his disputed election victory last month, discredited even by SADC and African Union observer missions. The opposition Citizens Coalition for Change of Advocate Nelson Chamisa, which says the election was stolen, responded with disdain, saying in a statement, quote, "The cabinet is illegitimate as it is a product of a disputed election. By going ahead with announcing the appointments," said the Triple C, "Mr. Mnangagwa has revealed what has come to be associated with his autocratic regime, a casual disregard and contempt for the people's voice. The new cabinet, like the just-ended election, fails the credibility and legitimacy test," Triple C spokesperson Promise Mkwananzi said. While facing praise from mostly ZANU-PF leaning observers, Mnangagwa is also being criticized for retaining ministers whose achievement in previous administrations are difficult to point out. But what do you think? Let's take a short break. Stay tuned.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those just joining us, this is Live Talk, The Connection, coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. Tonight, we are talking about President Emmerson Mnangagwa's new cabinet ministers who were sworn into office today. We are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Studio 7. We are also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. But before we get into the new Zimbabwean cabinet, let's look at what is happening in Zambia. Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema is in China this week at the invitation of Chinese President Xi Jinping. The state visit comes after much of Zambia's debt to China and other countries was restructured in June through a $6.3 billion deal approved by the International Monetary Fund. Kathy Short reports from the Zambian capital, Lusaka.
In 2020, Zambia became the first African country to default on its sovereign debt during the COVID-19 pandemic, which depressed economies worldwide. In June, Zambia reached an agreement with its government creditors to restructure $6.3 billion in loans. The International Monetary Fund, or IMF, approved the deal. China is Zambia's biggest foreign creditor, with the African country owing more than $4 billion to the Export-Import Bank of China alone. According to some analysts, Zambia was a victim of debt trap diplomacy, a practice in which a creditor country lends money to poor nations, mainly to increase political leverage. China has denied those allegations, and both Zambia and China say bilateral relations are strong and warm. Thabo Kawana is a spokesperson for Zambia's Ministry of Information and Media.
And China and Zambia have had a very strong relationship that are historical, and they can be traced way back from our founding fathers of our nation, in this case, Chairman Mao of China and President Kenneth Kaunda.
However, Nalukoi Milapo, a University of Zambia lecturer in development, governance and international relations, says China has benefited more from trade in Africa than have countries like Zambia. Milapo says the IMF restructuring deal did not go far enough and that she hopes the Chinese and Zambian presidents can discuss more ways to relieve Zambia's economic burden.
So I think that it would be important to see even if there are modalities around even debt forgiveness, if they could even get into those discussions. Because if China is our friend, I think that we expect a better deal than what we actually got.
In a message to commemorate President Hichilema's visit to Beijing, the Chinese ambassador to Zambia, Du Xiaohui, say China is committed to trading fairly with developing countries like Zambia.
In 2022, the total trade volume between our two countries reached $6.73 billion, which is 30.2% increase and record high.
According to the Zambia Development Agency, the more than 600 Chinese businesses in the country have invested more than $6 billion into the economy. The investment has created more than 50,000 local jobs in agriculture, mining, and other key sectors of the Zambian economy, the agency says. Kathy Short, VOA News, Lusaka, Zambia.
Thank you there, Kathy Short. Siyalamukela kuhlelo lwabasakhulayo lamhlanje olwe Live Talk, The Connection. Sikhangela udaba lomqoka-ke lamhlanje ngolokufungiswa kwamalunga ekhabhinethi kamongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa, esingathi lidale labaphathi ntambo. Bakhethiwe izolo, bafungiswa-ke ukuqala umsebenzi namuhla. Abanengi lizwile ukuthi babuyelile omthuli Ncube, kodwa bakhona njalo abanye abatsha esiza ekhuluma ngabo abakhethiweyo. And to discuss this matter tonight, we are joined by ZANU-PF Information Officer Francis Mufambi, Opposition CCC official in North America, Tawanda Dzokora, and Helen Kadirire of the organization Women's Academy for Leadership and Political Excellence. Thank you all for joining us. Let me start off with you, Mr. Dzokora. We saw President Mnangagwa appointing his cabinet yesterday. Today, ministers were sworn into office. But again, we saw your party issuing a statement dismissing that cabinet as illegal. What exactly do you mean?
The cabinet is illegal because it's been appointed by a legal and illegitimate leader who was born out of an illegitimate process, a fraud of an election, a term of an election. And as of now, we do not accept Emmerson Mnangagwa as the legitimate president of Zimbabwe. And that position remains. And as Zimbabweans, as citizens, we will continue to fight that using any peaceful and any constitutionally approved means that we can have. As Mr. Mnangagwa continues to score on goals You saw what he did, bringing back a pedophile, bringing back an abuser, someone who is known to be abusing women. He has abused young women. The Vice President, Mohadi, was brought back. And today, we are also seeing Mr. Mnangagwa appointing his own children, his own family, to become part of the cabinet. If Zimbabweans are not made angry, if Zimbabweans are not challenged, are not moved by what Mr. Mnangagwa is doing, I don't know what will. This is a kitchen cabinet. This is a home affairs cabinet that we are seeing. There is no merit in what Mr. Mnangagwa is doing. There are more people, many people, that are qualified for those positions than what we are currently seeing. We are seeing a country that is being prepared to more looting. The son is now a deputy minister of finance. Where is it going to take us? This country is not moving forward. This country will never move forward as long as we have a president or someone who calls himself president, who doesn't think about the country first, who doesn't think about the people of Zimbabwe first. So as the citizens, will continue to fight using all channels that are available, regional, international, and inside Zimbabwe. Like that statement said, that was issued by our spokesperson, Mr. Mnangagwa, he continues to test the patience of Zimbabwe. Zimbarevani, Bacharuona, Patakwenda Oku, Akupere Zakanaki.
Thank you, Deva Zokora. And coming to you, Vamufambi, I'm sure you are hearing Vadzokora there criticizing the president for appointing his son and nephew as deputy ministers. And I'm sure it's the kind of criticism that you've also heard elsewhere from critics, of course. What's your take? How do you defend the president?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Amini. I think the proposition is regurgitating the same nonsense they've been saying for a very long time. And they are today talking about illegitimacy of the cabinet, but at the same time, they are not even calling David Coulthard and Ian Makon illegitimate mayors as they are product of an illegitimate election, as they are saying. But they are actually in celebrating the election of these mayors. So you can actually see the double standards that we get from the opposition. Secondly, I think the claims of legitimacy are far-fetched and nonsensical and are symptomatic of a highly convoluted mind because they have no legal basis and they have no political basis. Legitimacy is not something that is manufactured in Tuara village or in Chanisa's mouth. Legitimacy is something that comes from the people. And the people have decided that President Mnangagwa should be their president, and there are statistics to support that. Right. So ZANU-PF is a structured party with a very large pool of personnel. The president can pick anyone to become a minister. And if someone becomes or happens to be a relative to him, it doesn't then disqualify them. Why? Because these same persons are qualified, these same persons are Zimbabweans, these same persons are party members in good standing. So definitely, I will even give you an example. In 1994, President Mandela appointed his wife, Winnie Mandela, to become a deputy minister of arts. But we have never had this childish and small talk about him appointing his family. So basically what is important is about delivery. We are talking about delivery. We are talking about ability to do the job. And the personnel that has been appointed by the president is the A team of Zimbabwe, is the A team of ZANU-PF. Actually, I think also these people are contradicting themselves because in the previous election, we had Nelson Chamisa's family running in many positions. I'll give you something like 5 to 6 examples. There was Yemilson Chamisa running for president. There was Samuel Chamisa running for MP. There was Sungai Chamisa running for MP. There was a nephew to Nelson Chamisa called Daniel Berikuna Shen Mashingu. There's a senator on the who is a relative to Chamisa. There is Kennedy Gina the late, who is a relative again to Chamisa, who was in Harare. But we never raised these things because we knew that as a Zimbabwean, they had the right to stand for any office, and they had the right to be appointed for any office. So in ZANU-PF, we don't concentrate on small talk like the opposition, and this is why they always lose elections. And they even try to mudsling and speak about abuse of women and what. But look at it, there is a doctrine, a sacrosanct doctrine called the presumption of innocence. Yeah, Vice President Mohadi has never been convicted of abuse of women by any competent court. Right. But we can at the same time actually point out to what was circulating in the social media. We saw the CCC vice president busy molesting young girls at the University of Zimbabwe. Things that we don't actually condone in this modern era. So they cannot raise the moral bar when they know that their leaders get the lowest when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. Our focus is not actually on personnel or on who belongs to what clan or what family. Our focus is on who can deliver the Zimbabwe that people look for. And this is the team that the president has sworn in. Thank you.
Thank you there, Bamufambi. I'll come back to you, but I don't see how you can argue against somebody who says that is a nepotism, because we are talking about a president installing his own son, installing his own neighbor. But again, I'm sure you want to respond, and I'll come back to you. We also have Information Secretary, that's Nick Mangwana, defending Mr. Mnangagwa, Nekusarudza Mwanawavo, Nemzukuru. City hayi umongameli ulelungelo lokuthi akhethe isihlobo zakhe njengalokho akwenzileyo umntana wakhe lo mzukulu uthi babe ku cabinet babe ngabasekeli babaphathi ntambo. This is what Nick Mangwana says on Twitter, now X. He says, we are lucky when in the election of MPs there are people with professional qualifications and good experience in the pool. The president has to pick ministers from. If some of these happen to be related to him, that doesn't disqualify them for nomination on the base, on that basis only. They are also Zimbabweans. Indeed, we are Kwamuri, Helen, I'm sorry, Helen Kadirire, that's our other guest. She's the spokesperson for the Women's Academy for Leadership and Political Excellence. What's your impression, Helen, of this new cabinet, which will take the country forward in the next 5 years?
I think what comes with the pavilion itself, it shows that there's no political will to have a woman in vice president. We haven't had a woman as a vice president from the time that Dr. Joyce Mujuru was ousted out of office. So that is an indictment itself on the highest office of the land, that women's rights are more important. It's a slap in the face to women who are capable of taking up that office but are not being given the chance for whatever reason that the president has. And then coming to the ministers, I mean, 6 women as opposed to 17 is also another slap in the face. Gender equality. We have provisions in the Constitution found in Section 17, 56, and 80 that call for gender equality. But we still find that that is still lagging. Women are still being given piecemeal offers with regards to leadership. And yet, we are very capable women in Parliament right now. We are very capable lawyers. We are very capable people who can take on ministries such as local government, ministries that speak mostly to women's issues, to issues that affect women's social services, to health, but there is nothing that is being done by the pavilion itself to effect gender equality and advance women's issues. So that needs to be addressed before 2028 at least, because Zimbabwe is always in perpetual election mode, so we need those things to be addressed. Had outstanding electoral reforms been implemented and the provisions for gender equality had been put into the Electoral Act, would not be in the mess that we're in right now.
And how about the issue of the youth, Helen? Because Wongo, people are complaining about the shortage of women. In the cabinet, I think there are six or so women, if I'm not mistaken. But how about the young people? Because I see some are celebrating kuti kwapinda vechidiki vakati kuti, including the president's son, David Mnangagwa, who is 34 years old.
Vechidiki vetiri kufara kuti vapinda, asi vangani vechidzimai vapinda vachiona. Tikanyatotarisa, tikatarisa age group, youth yachona from 18 to 35, there's only one person who fits into that bill. How is he going to advance youth issues on his own in a cabinet full of older men and women? That's the issue. The youth are not being given the opportunity. There's the youth quota, but they didn't take anyone. They only took one person from that youth quota. So that in itself shows a lack of sincerity in the issues that they claim they want to advance.
Siyabonga, Helen, please do stay on the line as we take a caller. I understand we have a caller from South Africa. Mtereri wakadi yako unjani mlaleli?
Mtereko makadi.
Aywa tripo, hey, no.
Angelo Sara Chashinkimanzi, well, Chakmanda.
Mori.
South Africa, Christian Cape.
Moroko iwona wose cabinet ya tora miko nasi.
Ah, inona ndisina sina kutombonya ka because vamina ndaba. Ano kumanyira se kuswa cabinet ya ibo vachinze. Ah, kunda mirwe simba kuni Saturday. Kwa Saturday iri kuti mina kusimbapo akuna mtunga mire. Akadira sari kuswa vanize manyira kuswa cabinet ya vose zviri legalish.
Mhm, aiwa, tinotenda mukoma nekupinda muchirongwa.
Tinotenda, ramba makatibata.
Siyabonga mlaleli eMzansi. Vadzokora ndiuye kwamuri. We saw the police today arresting Maureen Kademaunga, your CCC member of parliament for Sunningdale. She was arrested, I think, with a councillor for Ward 10, Clyde Masho Jera, and Dawoodi Jessup. They are charged with attempted murder and malicious damage to property. What's your take?
It's the continued lawfare by ZANU-PF using the police, using state institutions, try and indemnify CCC leaders. We know that it's a strategy by ZANU-PF to try and, get to the two-third majority that they want. So they are coming up with these trumped up charges against our members of parliament. It's not the end. You are going to see more members of parliament being targeted. We know that Honorable Maureen Kademaunga is innocent. She is not involved. She was not involved. She does not do such things as CCC. We do not interact with violence in any way. We only get the feel of violence or interact with violence when it has been used against us by ZANU-PF. So we'll see how it goes. We'll let the law take its course. But we know that Honorable Kademaunga is innocent, and just like everyone else who has been arrested by ZANU-PF or by the police, they will end up being cleared because they did not commit any crime. You saw what they were doing to our spokesperson trying to come up with trumped up charges against Mr. Promise Mkwananzi, even creating stories that he has been arrested in Lesotho. You know, it's just a ploy by ZANU-PF. Mm-hmm. But let me just very quickly go back to what Mr. Mufambi did. He was all over the place trying to defend the nepotism that Mr. Mnangagwa is clearly doing, bringing in the good name of Miss Winnie Mandela. Winnie Mandela was a cadre. She was a comrade who made her own name. She was a freedom fighter. So for him to bring the name of Winnie Mandela and try to compare that with the nepotism, clear act of nepotism that is being done by Mr. Mnangagwa, it's unjust to the reputation of Winnie Mandela and trying to create many chamisas. He mentioned about five chamisas that we don't even know, that do not even exist. If it is a Sam and Chamisa, he was put through the test of the people. He went through a vote the first time and he was voted in by the people. This time around, he was also put through the test of the people, and unfortunately, he lost and he accepted. You know, that's not the same with Mr. Mnangagwa's nephew and son, who are just hand-picked and thrown into a cabinet. Mm-hmm. What he is doing, what ZANU-PF is doing, is a clear case of nepotism, and as citizens, we are going to react to that.
Thank you, Vadzokora. And we are kwamuri, Mkoma Francis. Hanzi na vadzokora nevamwe makritics enyu, hanzi cabinet ya pana zviripo makumbo enyoka apa. Ya hakuna kuvandudza economy, ufumi kwa muchagona, zvicharamba zvichingo namo icharamba ichingo tekeshera muchitadza kugadzirisa upfumi uye muchitadza kuprovida vanhu veZimbabwe mabasa. Muri kuti chiipapo?
Okay, I think that is a very misplaced conclusion, because the government for the past 5 years has done what many governments in Africa have failed to do, and Zimbabwe actually was one of the fastest growing economies. I think if you remember, we had the highest amount of yield. Actually, a record yield in a very long time when it comes to wheat, when it comes to maize, and those achievements that were done by the government. And this current government that the president is putting in place is the A team that will be able to push the conclusion of National Development Strategy 1 and making sure that we can implement National Development Strategy 2 with a goal to make sure that Zimbabwe will be a medium income economy by 2030.
Thank you. So Francis, attempt is a fumble. Let me go to Helen. Helen, government yatanga basa, the zvipi zvainofanira kukoshesa pachidimbo, as we wrap up.
Nama social services delivery, which is also a priority. Education, women's rights, nyaya dzekuti security, vana nemadzimai vange vari secure, vari mumaminichi iwayo ndavakoshese izvozvo. Health ndochinhu chakanyanyisa kukosha, because madzimai ndiwo anochengeta varwere nezvi kuzvipatara. Ngakuwane mishonga, ngakuwane machiremba nemanesi anokwanisa kurapa vanhu, kwete kuti munhu wese ari kuita nesi ari kuda kunotsvaga maCOS ekuti vaende kuna United Kingdom, Canada, Australia. We need a functioning country isina kuti munhu wese aibhudza ari kutsvaga kuti regai ndingwaze ndibude munyika. That is what we need as a country.
And that brings us to the end of our show. We would like to thank all our guests. That's Helen Kadirire, spokesperson of the Women's Academy for Leadership and Political Excellence. Nkoma Francis Mufambi, ZANU-PF Information Officer, and Nkoma Tawanda Dzokora of the Opposition CCC here in America. Also, thanks to our listeners and viewers at home. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow. I am Thungameli Nkomo. Good night, Zimbabwe.